Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you take Mac Jones at 15 or do you go in a different direction?
I think you would take Mac Jones.
Would you think he was worthy of the 15th pick in the draft?
No.
What are we doing?
Dale Arnold.
The talent level at the NFL level is the big question for Mac. I saw somebody the other day talk about he's sneaky athletic. No, he's as athletic as we all think he is. But I think from a baseline talent perspective, I think he probably falls into the 20s.
Rich Keefe.
That's spring training in 2021. You have the bases loaded, you're in a major jam, and you wave the white flag.
Suck on it.
What are we doing?
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
John Anderson likes to do these on the midday show because he's one of these hipster douche young kids.
What are we doing?
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
We have so much to unpack today, so much to get into, including guests on the weekend show apparently lying to the co-hosts of the weekend show. I mean, so much.
It's unreal. You can't trust people at their word anymore. I thought I liked Mike Rodak. I thought I knew Mike Rodak, had a long relationship.
Your word is your bond, right?
Yes, obviously.
And especially just, if you're on in the same market, you probably should be consistent. It's one thing if you're doing an interview in Cincinnati and you're like, yeah, the guy should be the number one pick. And then you're doing an interview in L.A., you're like, 30th, whatever.
Well, that's not true, because Fourier would make 8 different predictions on every single hit he did for the Patriots every Sunday.
That actually is true. He somehow had an OMF pick, an NFL Sunday pick, and then a Channel 4 pick. He had like a win-loss or a tie every week.
You cover your bases. You're right somewhere.
Yeah, that's true.
Somebody goes, that guy, he knows his football.
We'll unpack all of this stuff. Tommy Kern's going to join us at noon today as well. Let me just begin weird off topic here by saying I was late to the bandwagon, but last night, Rich, I dove headfirst into the Ted Lasso cult.
Oh, I've heard that's good.
Oh, my God, it's so good.
Yeah, I don't have Apple TV.
I'm like, I banged through 4 episodes last night, and it was only, like, finally my wife said, look, I got to go to bed, but you cannot watch anymore. You cannot watch anymore until I'm there again. So
yeah, I've only heard good things about it, but I'm like, I pay for enough streaming services. I'm like, I can't justify also Apple TV.
Oh, I pay for too much. I was looking at it the other day because I'm, you know, thinking about how can I cut back. Apple TV, Amazon Prime, Hulu, Netflix.
It's ridiculous.
HBO Max. Discovery Plus. HBO Max.
Yeah. It's outrageous.
And when Peacock. Does it go back full circle again? Where it's like, they'll do a deal with Xfinity or something, and then I'll be able to pay for it through my cable. I feel like it's just going to... Because remember, this was the early days of cable. You wanted Sports Channel and Nessun and HBO and Cinemax. You had all these $9.95 tack-ons to your bill, like the pay tier.
Right,
so we're back to the pay tier, except I'm still paying the old tier of the regular cable. And it's starting to annoy me.
Supposedly, Paramount Plus is coming out soon here.
Yeah.
Pass.
And what they're going to do is they're going to take Inside the NFL to Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
Which means if you don't buy Paramount Plus, you don't get to see Inside the NFL anymore.
Yeah. I'll see the clips on Twitter.
Yeah. But that's what they're doing is they're taking things that they think people want.
Right.
Moving it there and trying to lure them over to pay their money and watch stuff. Because that's not the only thing they're taking.
But. Right, but the other stuff sucks. It's like things that were on 5 years ago or were canceled or spin-offs. Like,
they don't have
I need Punky Brewster?
Yet.
Do I need Punky Brewster 40 years later?
Yes.
Or whatever?
Yes. You want to watch that?
Well, I mean, I liked it when I was seven or whatever. But
the WWE Network is joining up with Peacock. Right? Because Peacock wasn't selling enough.
Oh, by the way, there's another thing that I pay per month for.
But have they announced where on Peacock? Because Peacock has like the weird, like three-tiered
system. I bet it's going to be front and center. Because I bet.
But
most
if you get
people...
Comcast, you get Peacock, right? Because that's kind of in that family.
Well,
I get it, but I can't find it.
Yeah, there's a free tier. There's also a paid tier. Very confusing.
Yeah, I don't know what I have.
But it's also annoying, too, because some of these channels that are on all of cable are also like, we want a spin-off app package.
And you're Discovery like, Plus is
you're
a new
on
one.
It's cable. Got
like, yeah, Food Network, Discovery, all the channel, all the shows you like Chip and Diane, whatever Gaines is, and all those shows. But now they're going
to the
Discovery Plus.
That's Magnolia. That's their new network.
Like, what are we doing?
I have Discovery Plus because my friend Amy Bruni's show is on Discovery Plus now.
Okay.
And there are some things that I like. Bobby Flay and Giada had this little short series where they were, you know, traveling and eating in Italy and different places.
Yeah.
And it was cool. I liked it. But I thought,
is it worth
what I'm paying
for?
Well,
I think Discovery Plus is only worth it if you completely cut cable, because there's a lot of channels on there that if you cut cable you would want, and there's like a nice package there. But if you have both, it seems like you're double dipping, and it's what am I doing? Yeah.
Yeah. Tough. It makes no sense. The whole thing is, I find, and then you got the new Disney thing where. Whatever
I have Disney
the new...
Plus, too. I forgot there's another
Disney
one
Plus.
I have.
Well, you do the Disney Plus bundle with ESPN Plus and Hulu.
But now you also have the Disney Plus, the new animated movie that's coming out this week or next, is only on Disney Plus with a subscription add-on or an upcharge.
Oh, yeah, you have to pay an extra whatever for Raya and the Last Dragon, I think.
Yeah, like, what do we do? I feel like you're kind of screwing me. I'm not going to lie. I feel like I'm getting screwed.
If you cut cable, you end up spending more than what you would have spent on cable.
The trouble is, I'm spending all this and haven't cut cable.
Right, me too.
Yeah, no, me
same.
Too.
So now I'm really getting screwed.
And
I
once they get it on your recurring...
I am.
The recurring credit card, like, you don't it's just buried
look.
In that bill.
It's just fake
money. So you're like, wait, we still have that, and we have that. We don't watch any of them. That's
like
the problem with me. Like, you, Dale, sound like you get some use out of it.
Yeah.
Like, my kids or my wife always want, like, they want something specific. So you sign up, and then once they're done with that something specific, no one's watching it, but I'm still paying my $6.99
so
here,
that's
my
$9.99
there.
With Apple TV is because everybody told me Ted Lasso is good, and I'm like, I'm going to buy this just for Ted Lasso, and then it's going to be just a recurring bill, and I'm not going to use it. Whereas Netflix and HBO Max, those two, actually, and Disney, those three, I think I frequent a good amount. I feel like I'm either watching sports on cable or one of those three things as a show or a movie.
See, that's the other thing about it, and I was thinking about this the other day, too. I don't know how many channels I have available to me between the pay services and everything.
You have a lot.
I mean,
Too many.
1,000.
Yeah.
I watch like 7.
Right. Oh, I know. You need to be able to just go a la carte and be like, here, I will pay X amount, and you can get rid of everything else, and I'll just take these ones. That's what you should be able to do.
Yeah, but then the whole business
Because then some of those have tried it, like the YouTube TV and like the PlayStation View and all that stuff. But then they all run into problems. Like, did they figure out the Nessun thing yet, Dale,
nope.
at YouTube?
No.
See, like,
no.
So then you have problems with that.
Now Nessun is on Fubo, which I don't even know what that is.
It's actually really good. I used it during the football season a few times.
Is it
Fubo? Wasn't that like hip-hop attire in the 90s?
Before Us by Us. That was
no,
the
it's Fubo. The TV one is Fubo, and you get basically every sporting event everywhere.
Oh, okay.
Until you
but
don't.
It's primarily
until you
like
don't. I guarantee
sports.
Until you don't.
Like, some of the total contract comes up.
Well, yeah, you got to add the extra package.
Okay.
It's frustrating.
It is.
Let's go back to the old days. Three networks. I had to point the antenna in a certain direction. I either got it, and if I didn't, I walked away and read a book.
Oh, I had three, four channels for the longest time.
Oh, yeah. I grew up in rural Maine. Trust me. It was like, and if you turned the antenna just right, you could get CKSH out of Sherbrooke, Quebec, which had dirty movies on Friday night.
That's all you needed?
That's
all you needed
stuff.
Right there.
You look for certain parts.
Yes, exactly.
You had to kind of cross your eyes a little bit. Like,
but
like
I saw it. I saw it.
Eye paintings.
There were two of them up there. I saw them.
Yep. Oh, now there's six? Wait, what is
Wait
going
a
on
minute.
Here?
It's like that Steve Martin joke where he's the rube who's in Vegas. He says, there must be 57 blanks up on that stage. You know, no, there aren't that. But
there's one big butt.
Yep.
And that too.
It. That's the name of the game.
So I brought this up yesterday, Andy, and you're our, you know, one of our resident football gurus, so you can explain this to me. Because we tried to figure it out yesterday. I told Rich, we are seeing the amplification of Mac Jones. It's happening right in front of our eyes. It's been going on for about a week now. a guy who was clearly the fifth quarterback of the top five, and there was a gap between four and five. He was not even in the running, and now people are trying to talk him into the top four, and maybe even, you know, not ahead of Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, but then right there, they're trying to make the claim that this guy's there.
I don't eliminate Justin Fields. I think he will not pass Lawrence and Wilson. The way things are going now with 8 weeks to go before the draft, I don't know where he ends up. And it's a fascinating study. We're talking about Netflix. Go back and do a study on how this happens to quarterbacks who everybody admits right now, or the way they're trying to prop him up is tying him to Tom Brady, right? He has it.
Right.
Correct.
That's a pretty good tie-in if you can claim that one.
Except Tom Brady went in the sixth round. The Tom Brady at the time you're comparing him to went in the sixth round, not
right,
in the
Scott
top
Pioli
eight
would
picks.
Say if we knew he was Tom Brady, we'd have taken him in the first round. And
so would everybody else. But his resume, yeah. His physical tools, his scouting report coming out of Michigan made him a sixth-round pick. So now a similar scouting report, because you have no idea what Mac Jones is going to be when he works his ass off, gets in a pro weight room, a pro this, a pro that.
Stops you don't eating know what, those cookies every night.
Right. Maybe he'll be great. But we don't. That's the unknown. The known right now is you're comparing him to Tom Brady, and Tom Brady was a late-round draft pick. But in this day and age of quarterbacks and value and overvalue, and that's what I think you're seeing is, talent-wise, guys like Daniel Jeremiah say, he's probably a second-round pick with his talent, but teams need quarterbacks. Team talk themselves into, well, if he's worth a second-round pick, why don't I just swing for the fences and take him in the first? Because if he succeeds, you'll never regret it, right?
Right.
If it doesn't matter where you. That's why I find it funny.
Hell,
he's
if he
not
became
worth
Tom Brady, you take him first overall, but that ain't going
to
happen.
But even if he would become, whatever, Jimmy Garoppolo or slightly better than Jimmy Garoppolo, he takes your team to the Super Bowl, you're like, yeah, that was value. I always laugh at the 15 versus 20. He's not worth 15, but he's worth 20. What the hell are you talking about? Because if he fails at 15 or 20, he's a failure.
Right.
If he succeeds at 15 or 20, he's a success. It doesn't matter.
But I don't really understand. Is the Brady Mac Jones comparisons just that they have bad bodies or what? Because
some of
that's
it.
Part of it.
It's very different to me because Tom Brady played more at Michigan than Mac Jones played at Alabama.
Yes.
Tom Brady, again, so he had much more tape on him, right? You could see what he was doing, played in a big conference and all that. But the stats aren't even close. Like the way they played football in the Big Ten then versus how they play in the SEC now. Mac Jones had more than two times as many touchdown passes his final season, had twice as many passing yards, like was a Heisman candidate and all this other stuff. Brady wasn't. And like Andy said, are you comparing him to Tom Brady now? Then that's insane because he's the greatest quarterback of all time. And if you're comparing him to him coming out of Michigan, where he was the seventh quarterback taken in the draft, I guess that's sort of the one thing, maybe, right? Like, Mac Jones might be the fifth best quarterback in this draft. Tom Brady, going into the draft, might have been the fifth best quarterback then, except they didn't draft them all in the first round back in 2000.
All right, let's start with Mike Rodak, Andy's buddy.
Which time?
Yeah, well,
Which face of old two-face Rodak?
We've already heard him talking to you. Let's hear him talking to NBC Sports Boston about this very topic.
Yeah, it's a comparison I always wanted to make myself. I was always a little bit afraid to make it because once you say Tom Brady's name, people will just kind of jump and say, you know, nobody else can be Tom Brady. And I don't think it's as much a comparison about their quality of player. I think it's more just about their skill set and what type of quarterback they are. Not the flashy, you know, run outside the pocket, make sidearm throws and do all this crazy stuff that we see out of Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and some of those quarterbacks. But, you know, I think Brady proved again this year that you can be successful winning without some of that stuff and just being adequate with some of the athletic ability. So I would agree with the comparison, at least from a skill set standpoint. I think Tom Brady's is elite at a lot of those qualities.
That doesn't sound the same as when I was listening to you and Fitzy.
When he said no. Is he worth the 15th pick? No.
So I also think what's tough, too, about comparing somebody to Brady is if you're just going off of – like I think so much of what makes Tom Brady good is, like, upstairs, right? Like, that separates him from Aaron Rodgers, even. Like, Aaron Rodgers is probably more physical gifted. We talk about this every single year, right? Like, Aaron Rodgers, if you're the prototype quarterback, is more Aaron Rodgers than Tom Brady. But there's something about Tom Brady that is different than everybody else, essentially, that has played. And so is Mac Jones – like, is that what you're saying? Like, Mac Jones is as smart as Brady? Or he just has, like, a middle-of-the-road NFL arm?
Yes.
Which maybe is what Tom Brady has.
Like, right, he's so pretty accurate, not a great arm. He doesn't move around great. Like, that's where you get into – the way to prop him up, if you like him, is to say, well, he's got some Tom Brady to his game, and that makes it a positive. Because if you just say,
right,
he doesn't have a great arm, he's not overly athletic, he's pretty accurate, and he can make good with good talent around him, it sounds like you're giving a negative scouting report, right?
Sounds like you're talking about a backup.
Right.
You're talking about a backup quarterback.
If your intention,
sounds like Brian Hoyer.
Right. Yeah, so if you're, and it is. And if your intention is to prop him up, you have to take the facts and somehow package them in a way that it now becomes a positive, and that's to say, he's got some Tom Brady to him. And now everybody's like, Tom Brady.
Ooh.
Oh.
So why are we building this guy up? I don't mean us. I mean, why? Yeah. Every year there's somebody, you know, who all of a sudden out of nowhere, usually they're combine darlings. You know, they go to the combine, they prepare just for the combine. Who was the guy from BC?
Mike Mamula.
Mike Mamula.
He goes top 10 pick because of the combine.
All of a sudden, he becomes the guy who gets propped up and everybody loves him. Mac Jones is this year's version, and I'm trying to figure out why.
But I would say the difference is he's coming off a great year in a great conference.
Great year on
great and, team.
And, yeah, they might have been one of the best college football teams of all time.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it happened in a weird year. Not everybody got to play a full slate, and you know, maybe people weren't paying attention as closely as they were. But if you just take Alabama's 13 games this year, they run the table. Mac Jones puts up 4,500 yards passing, 41 touchdowns to just four picks. His receiver wins the Heisman Trophy. It was a monster year. My thought on it, Andy, is that the top four quarterbacks have been kind of cemented. Now, maybe that order changes, but those four guys are just, everybody says those are first rounders. And then because it is such a, it's, you know, the most important position in sports, you're like, all right, who's the next guy? Mac Jones has become the cream of the crop out of that next group. And because we have 2 months to talk about it leading up to the draft, you're like, all right, well, how high can he then go? Even if he might be a second round pick, teams need quarterbacks, so now he's the guy everybody's focusing on.
Trevor Lawrence hasn't budged, but even Zach Wilson has now, in most people's minds, moved ahead of Justin Fields.
Right,
right. But he's coming off a great... I just think... Now, I'm not sold... The Trey Lance one is weird, because I think he's kind of going in the other direction.
He's falling.
From Mac Jones.
Yeah.
And there's perfectly good reasons, but I also think...
Sure, he's played one game in 400 days.
Right. What we're also talking about is this natural evolution of... the pursuit of quarterbacks that used to be the next tier guy, whatever the tiers were, we've always had tiers. You know, there's two or three great ones. You know, Meyer and Bledsoe are going 1-2. They're the top. Leaf and Manning, they're the top.
Winston Mariota.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then it was the next tier. But where did that tier go? It used to be, well, is he worthy of the top of the second round? You don't get, you know, Drew Brees.
Right.
Goes top of second round. And then it was, well, which team's going to trade back into the first round and get the next tier guy at the end of the first? Well, which team is going to reach for the... And now that just keeps getting pushed and pushed and pushed. Yeah. And now all of a sudden it's that next tier guy. Is he worthy of the top half of the first round? Because then you're going to have the... Now you're just saying, if I don't take one there, now I'm just waiting for the middle of the draft, the Kyle Trasks or second, third round. So I think it's this weird... It's the... You ever hear that thing, the Dutch auction that some of these furniture places have in like the off season?
I hope that's not an offensive term.
Where they have all this inventory, and it starts out big sale Dutch auction. Now everything's, you know, 10% off. So it's until it goes. Once it goes, it's gone. And then the next week, everything is 20% off. The next week, everything's 30% off until they get rid of their inventory. So if you want something, you're playing a game. Do I jump at the 10% off because I really want that sofa? There's only one left. If somebody else jumps at the 10% off, right, then the next week, it's 20. Honey, I think we should jump. But somebody, we can get 30 if we wait a week. We can get 40. It's a little ugly. I don't know if everybody, you know, and that's the game that's played with these quarterbacks now.
There was this famous furniture store up in Maine that would run these ads every day on the radio. Yeah, going out of business, last time only. Those ads ran for like 4 years. I mean, for like 4 years, this place was going out of business. Yeah. Hurry, get down there, get your couch.
Well, and if you didn't get down there, Dale, they would have. Like, right, you went down there and you helped them out.
That's right, the greatest marketing campaign ever. It's literally saved the business day after day.
Probably did. So Denny Thompson is a quarterback coach, right? Isn't that his official title?
He's
on with OMF.
My new favorite quarterback coach.
Well, yeah, he was on with OMF yesterday. And Denny Thompson added this to the mix.
I would compare him to Tom Brady in this way. I saw that as well. But there's these guys, and you guys have been around this sport so long, you're going to know what I'm saying. It's an elite world, right? And so when you work in this elite world, you get used to that level of eliteness, if that's a thing. And then there's these guys that are just special. They have something different that when you're around them, there's a level of excellence that makes you want to live up to that level of excellence. And that's where the guys like Tom Brady come in. Mac has that.
In which pond? That would be my simple question.
Special or
Mac? Because I bet your Rich Keefe's high school coach thought that Rich Keefe was really good, right?
My high school coach did. Yeah.
So, in that pond, you were special.
How many kids from your school went to play college football?
Not many.
Yeah. Yeah,
not many.
But my point is, they're all special until they're not. When they're the big fish in the little pond, like some kid's special in Little League, and then. Well, he never really developed. He kind of topped out at 12 years old. Then there's the kid that's special in high school and special in college. But all of them, or most of them, peter out at some point, right?
But
they just kind of go by the wayside.
It is interesting, though, and this is why it's so difficult to find the next quarterback, is because if I told you the guy on the best school in the best conference had an unbelievable season.
Yes.
Shouldn't he be really, really good? And, like, listen, I'm not a Mac Jones fan either, but I'm just saying, if you just take those metrics, like, you're right. Not like you get to high school and then however many percent go to college and however many percent go to the pros. But if you're the best quarterback on the high school football team, on the best team in the state, chances are you're going to be playing in college. And then like you just keep going up.
And that's why I watch the games. That's why I watch the games. Right. That's why I fight back against people like Scheim, who can look at the stats and the ratings and the grades. Because I watched. The comparison should be very simple. LSU, Joe Burrow. Alabama, Mac Jones. They had a quarterback have a massive breakout season to lead to a national title while surrounded by first-round wide receivers. I fell head over heels in love with Joe Burrow and would have taken Joe Burrow number one overall.
Yeah.
I'm not head over heels in love with Mac Jones.
Touchdowns.
No, I know, but like the numbers are big for either. Like, stories are remarkably similar. Did you like Burrow more than Mac Jones?
I did like Burrow more than Mac Jones.
Because he showed you some things, right? Physically, you know, throwing on the run, scrambling a little bit more, making ridiculous plays where you said, that guy's special. Yeah. That
I like Mayfield more. I like Kyler Murray more.
And Mac Jones, because you watched him, the numbers don't necessarily measure up to Joe Burrow, even though maybe there should be similarities.
I didn't like Tua, right? And it's not just – and I know like during the crossover, Wiggy was saying, listen, you can't just – blame these quarterbacks for having five-star recruits, because guess what? Deshaun Watson played with studs. Joe Burrow played with studs, and that is true, but there's just something about Tua and Mac Jones that I just thought, okay, they don't really wow me. Like, they just they really didn't. And so that's
But Joe Burrow does.
Yeah, he did.
Right?
He did.
Like,
it was one
Trevor
year,
Lawrence played with great talent over the course of his career.
Of course he did.
Like when you're at Clemson, but you watch him and you see it, and I would also say the consistency helps. We get into these one-year wonder guys because Mac Jones is sort of a one-year thing. Even Zach Wilson, I don't know if you read the feature about, you know, they basically told him, you got to win the job. You're not even the starter. Now, we think you're going to win the job. We want you to win the job, but you better win the job.
Right.
And you have, you know, Trey Lance, a one-year guy now at a lower level, whereas Trevor Lawrence, to me, I give huge props, because how many times over the years have we, ooh, this sophomore is going to be the number one pick in a couple years, and then you're like, well, I start to see warts, and he regresses, and he throws picks, and he does this, and Trevor Lawrence was good from the beginning and was
he
good
went
at the
back
end.
Back and was still great. Right. Here's my Keefspiracy theory. Because I said yesterday that I don't think, you know, that this propping up of Mac Jones has anything to do with, you know, with the Alabama coach. Except I think it might with Mike Rodak. Mike Rodak, given what he does for a living, needs his connections with the Alabama football program. And I'm not saying Saban drop the dime to Rodak, but I could see a coach within that system saying, hey, Mike, I saw what you said about Mac Jones. You know, that's not right. That's not real. I think Rodak could have gotten a call.
I wouldn't totally rule that out because he is tied into that program, obviously, and he needs access. And Saban is Saban. He's a dominating figure. That's a program that can be kind of Belichickian. Like, I wouldn't rule it out. And imagine if Nick Saban called him.
Oh, that'd be good. That'd be great. He'd have some scoops going forward. But I think Rodak isn't the only example of guys hyping up.
No,
Mac
but
Jones
he's, the,
so far.
He's the most blatant example of somebody telling Andy and Fitzy one thing, and a few days later saying the exact opposite.
In the
opposite.
Course of 10 days, he went from no to yes. 10 days, or somewhere in the range of 10 days.
Okay, Yeah, yeah. No, that part of it's definitely true, and so that could have been a factor for him. But we've also
acknowledge it, by the way, because that would be the other thing say is if he acknowledged.
Oh.
You know, I know I was on in Boston and I said my gut reaction, I said no. But the more I thought about it, because yeah, of the quarterback, like no. If he just somehow articulated why he flippity floppityed and floppity flippityed, that'd be one thing. He just pretended that they didn't hear the first one and they're just listening to it for the first time.
But a lot of mock drafts have also had Mac Jones going at 8 just because they heard Matt Rhule, the Panthers coach, say that he liked him. So Rodak likes him, but I don't even know if even he said he'd be worth the 8th overall pick.
Yeah, Rodak does not like him as much as he now thinks he could get drafted.
Right.
I mean, I believe him on that. He's seen him for multiple years and compared him to everybody in SEC competition and games. There's no doubt in my mind that if Mike Rodak were picking, he would not take him at 15. That's just not what he sees him as.
Hmm.
Although he was down on everybody. That was the other thing in that interview. He kind of downplayed
Waddle?
He didn't love Waddle. Because of the inconsistencies.
He'll be getting
another
call this week.
Yeah,
and Barmore. He was like, not really a first-round pick. And I was like,
because
a lot of people have
him. To the Patriots.
Yeah. Fitzy's all over him. And I think I let Rodak sway me when he was kind of non-committal or not all that excited about. So not only is it a defensive tackle, which I don't really. I mean, I know you win in the trenches and all that.
Yeah.
But you take a defensive tackle who some people who watched him play every week are like, he's not really worth a first-round pick. I'm not in love with that idea. Yeah. Waddle. I heard you guys mocking me why I like Waddle.
You love Waddle.
Well, I do, and I don't know why.
I didn't make fun of your height.
You know why? Because he waddle, and then he waddled away.
Doesn't that suck?
Good Lord.
Isn't that awful?
Why do we bring him back?
I don't know.
You
out
love
of my
me.
Hands.
You should be wearing a mask when you cash your check this week. Because you are stealing money from this company right now.
I'm like that story of Steve Young. Dale, did you read the feature on Zach Wilson? And there was a story from Steve Young's book where when he was backing up Joe Montana, he wasn't cashing his checks. He was just leaving them in the glove box of his car because he didn't think he'd earned them.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Me too.
Easily.
Guy's got to eat. Go cash
those
checks.
Plus, you are earning
it. Pay for.
You're earning it. That's what they're paying
for. If you're the backup quarterback and you practice and you throw to the sky, like, you're earning it. You're literally,
that's
as Bill Belichick would say, doing your job.
The real story is he put it in there for like a day, and then the next day he went and cashed it. And he just, in his head now, it's like, oh, yeah, remember when I didn't cash those checks?
Can you imagine if somebody called today, because we're in the world of direct deposit, call your bank, and you're like, excuse me, could I, is there a way to undirect deposit something? I really don't feel like
I don't want it back. They're like, where are we going to put it? Send it to the cloud. I don't want it.
Yeah, just buy some Bitcoin with it.
Didn't Ricky Henderson do that? Didn't he frame like his first check? It was like $1 million check, and he like framed it.
Just
like,
hey, screwing up their whole accounting department.
You need to
they
cash
can
that.
Never clear the books.
Didn't Manny have some story about that too?
Oh,
yes. Manny had checks in his glove compartment.
See,
but that was different.
I believe that. Oh, you know, I actually believe.
He didn't cash them. Like, what is this? It's a piece of paper. Kind of... put it in there. That's where papers go.
All right, we'll talk about Patriots quarterback possibilities with you guys. 617-779-7937. Some other things that we'll get to throughout the day. We've got Kiefer Madness at 12:30. We've got Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, coming with us at 12 today. It's Dale and Keefe with Hart, and it's Chime's Time to Trend.
Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle.
More of Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
Andy, I can't wait for you to come on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I mean that honestly.
On WEEI.
Taking yourself out of sort of the closeness to him, would you think he was worthy of the 15th pick in the draft?
No, and that's, I think, the tough part for him is that he might be being elevated a little bit higher than where he should go. And I think that top half of the first round should be reserved for the guys like Mahomes, like Deshaun Watson, you know, in recent years. And, I mean, there's been a lot of quarterbacks drafted high that really shouldn't have been. You know, we saw the two that are traded and Goff and Wentz. But those sort of quarterbacks, Mac's not that quarterback.
So that was Mike Rodak on with Hart and Fitzy. It was the Gary Tangway weekend show, but he was never there.
Yeah, he was busy in Hollywood.
Yeah, so.
Whoa. It's Tangway and Hart, not the Gary Tangway weekend show. My name's in it, too.
Is your name first?
No, his is first.
Okay.
I don't care for it.
I know.
But only the first name matters? Rich, you got any comments on that?
Hey, it's how it goes. Listen.
So that was Mike Rodak being very forthcoming to Hart and Fitzy and saying, hey, listen, no, I wouldn't spend the 15th pick on the draft. So then, 10 days later, he's on NBC Sports Boston, and he was asked what would he do if he were picking at number 15.
I think you would take Mac Jones. I think you have to take a little bit of a leap of faith, knowing that he's again, he's not that superbly talented player that you might look for that high in the draft. But it's the old adage that if you believe in a quarterback and you think he's your guy, it doesn't really matter where you're picking, whether it's 15, 20, 25, 30, that you just got to take him and see where it goes. So
I'm telling you, he got a phone call.
Okay. Maybe. So, yeah. I am all for, you know, the modern sort of media bullying and all this. Would you like me to text him to see if he wants to come on before we spend an hour and a half shredding his credibility?
Well, he's been on a lot.
Yeah, but he said a lot of different things. I feel like we could use some clarifications here. We need a fact checker, like this is a president talking or something with
Mike Rodak.
We could. I
mean, if he wants to come on for a couple of minutes just to clarify what he means or if he
yes
he
or no.
Like,
can we just
it?
Ask him yes
or
sure.
Like,
no? Because he's
no,
good.
I mean, talking would about you think he was worthy of the 15th pick in the draft?
No.
I think you would take Mac Jones.
Yeah.
Those are the exact
like,
opposite.
What are we doing?
But that is like, the same guy, right?
His answers, I think so. Like a little bit of it, the way he explains it is actually somewhat consistent because he's like, yeah, he might not be as talented as guys that you would want to take in the top 15. But then he goes with the thing that to me is sort of a cop-out, and I'm guilty of it too. When you're like, well, if the team really likes him, then they should take him. It's like, yeah, but right now we're not asking the team. You know, we're asking the guy who covered the college team and covered the player. And, like, that's all we can do. Like, the three of us, when we're talking about these different prospects, it's, do you like this guy? Yes or no? It's not, hey, well, if the Patriots really like him, because, of course, if they really, really like him, they would take him at 15.
By the way, but if they really, really like him, they'd take him at 10 or 8
if they had,
or 7.
Yeah, right. If they thought he yes. was the next future quarterback, you would take him there. But we're just looking from a guy who saw him play every snap at Alabama, is he a middle of the first round type of draft pick? And one day it was a no, and then one day it is a yes.
Would you think he was worthy of the 15th pick in the draft?
No. I think you would take Mac Jones.
Dale's right. Something caused him to rethink this.
He got a phone call. And by the way, yeah. I get it. He works around that program, and I'm not suggesting Nick Saban. Nick Saban probably doesn't even know who Mike Rodak is, for crying out loud.
Oh, I bet he does. I bet he does.
You know what I'm saying.
Oh,
yeah, like,
detailed.
Like Bill Belichick wouldn't call me or Rich or
no.
you if he had a beef. Maybe.
Yes.
But somebody else would call. You know, somebody else right. would say, hey, Andy, you know, what yes. you said was wrong there. It would come from the top. It just wouldn't be the top talking to you.
But to be fair to Mike, and I actually did just send him a text, when we had the longer kind of conversation, he did bring up that, and he called it, I think, the old adage, that if you like a quarterback, just take him. Wherever it is. Like, there's no spot too high if you fall in love with a quarterback.
If you love the quarterback, I absolutely agree with him in that.
And I do, too.
If you think, you know what, this guy is our next franchise quarterback, then whatever spot you're in, if he's there, you take him.
Because I feel like there's too many times, and I guess you don't know for sure, but there are too many times where teams in the first round don't love the quarterback but just desperately need one, and then they draft one, and then, shockingly, Christian Ponder's not very good.
Right.
Or Jake Locker or E.J. Manuel
right.
or
like,
ask the Bills.
The
they went through a flurry of them. J.P. Lossman.
The Bills and the Browns are both guilty of it for so many years, just being like, well, Brandon Whedon's our guy. It's like, you really like Brandon Whedon, or you're just going to draft him at
yeah,
22
Yeah, and I'm not suggesting the Patriots need a quarterback, so you take him if he's there.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
saying
yeah.
if they love this guy.
Right.
If they think this is the guy, take him.
But I think,
and Belichick's actually pretty good at picking quarterbacks.
Yes,
he's done okay. Yeah. Now, if it was a wide receiver, I'd be a little less confident about this. But
yeah, and when he targets the higher he targets them, it's worked. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo went to a Super Bowl. Jacoby Brissett, for whatever you think of him, has been a borderline starting quarterback in the NFL for a couple teams, right? He kind of started for the Patriots, and then he went to the Colts and filled in, I would say, admirably in a tough situation for them. He's
filled
not
in.
Good.
No.
But he kind of held
Ryan
it
Mallett,
together.
Another third-round pick.
Ryan Mallett would not be a good example. Kevin O'Connell would also be a
not
counterexample.
A good example, yeah.
Good
Lord.
Coach, not
I'd
a good
take him
player.
On staff now. Yeah.
Yes, he could help
coach
the quarterback.
Take him.
So, yeah, there's been hits and misses, but it's also a hard position we're talking about. We're talking
it's
about
super
the
difficult.
Bills. And it's hard if you take a quarterback up high, where you have a higher, you know, level of talent, where you have more to pick from. He's had his hits. He's had his misses.
That's what I'm interested in with whether it's a Mike Rodak or even like a Todd McShay and a Mel Kiper. It's don't tell me if you think a team might love Mac Jones. Maybe a team does love Mac Jones, but from your assessment of quarterbacks in the history of college football, or in Rodak's case, you can even compare him to Tua or just other guys in the SEC.
Yep.
Like, does he check all the boxes to be a first-round pick? Because a first-round pick quarterback should really be on that path to being a franchise quarterback. It's not a guy that sits for a while. You're not drafting a backup there or
Correct.
Just a good, solid pro. Like, no, you want the next, as he pointed out, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, guys that were drafted 10, 12, wherever it was in their draft. So that's what you're looking for. And I just don't think that's what Mac Jones is. Personally, I don't think that's what it is. I think that Mike Rodak originally didn't think that's what he is. And I think a lot of other guys, because, Dale, again, you like the mock drafts are, yeah, he's going to go 8 to Carolina because Matt Rule said, Rule said he liked him. But, like, nobody's sitting here telling you that he's as good or on par with Zach Wilson or Trevor Lawrence. Like, there's a big drop-off, it feels like, after those top guys.
And it seems clear to me as this has gone forward, Mac Jones is going ahead of Trey Lance.
I think so. I think Trey Lance is going to be the story of the draft.
He's going to be the guy who is going to keep falling, maybe even out of the first round.
And there is my new dream Patriots plan. My
wow.
new dream.
Chime is hot and bothered after
out
that.
Of the first round?
He's not going to, because the New England Patriots, after selecting Jalen Waddle at 15, are going to jump
back in
my God.
And
keep
take
dreaming,
him.
Andy.
Trading with the New Orleans Saints, old drinking pal Sean Payton. They've made deals in the past. They will make a deal.
I don't think Trey Lance falls out of the first round. Dale, I wouldn't bet against the Mac Jones-Lance flip, because we've already seen Lance fall below Wilson and Fields.
It sort of seems clear. This Jones-Lance flip is almost guaranteed.
And I can already envision Trey Lance being available at 15, me being on the edge of my seat, and they taking a cornerback or a D lineman, and then me sitting back down very upset.
I'm ready to double down. We have the audio of me saying Mac Jones won't get taken in the top 10. I will assure you that Trey Lance will be gone before the 11th pick.
Oh, wait,
before
but are you assuring me Trey Lance?
Wow.
Trey Lance will
Mac
be
Jones.
Taken in the 10th, in the top 10, and
ahead of
Mac,
Mac
Jones,
Jones
will not. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so Trey Lance is going ahead of Mac Jones, and
yes.
Trey Lance doesn't make it out of the top 10.
I think Lance will 100% be a first-round pick. I know they're different players and everything else, but similar like Jordan Love vibes, whereas last year Jordan Love in some mocks was super high, some a little bit lower, some dead in the middle. And then on draft night, he kind of fell and he was available. And the Patriots had a pick, and you're like, are they going to take Jordan Love here? And then, no, they trade down.
But my scenario for you, Rich, is the best case scenario, because you're all hot and bothered at 15. They get an elite player at 15.
And
you're like, son of a, they didn't get. And then
perfect.
You're, excuse me, who's on the clock? At what number? Trey Lance, and you can go
that
home
is the
happy.
Perfect scenario.
Pop open one of those crafties and just go to work on draft night, baby.
That's gonna be a hell of a night if they can.
Hope you don't have to work the next day.
I hope he does.
That'll be good stuff.
Now that's where you can start talking yourself into maybe the Mike Tannenbaum thing, where you're turning things around. You're not that far away. I got my quarterback. I got a playmaker. Now, it could go to the crapper very quickly.
Oh,
Trey Lance could look like a Division II player. Jalen Waddle could be. Wait, how come Jalen Waddle's numbers were never better at Alabama? How come he never did more with his talent? You could be talking about those things, but at least you'll be excited for your order of jersey. You get Lance's the Mance jersey, right?
Nope,
the campaign.
You put that anywhere.
And
I'll put
Waddle
it everywhere.
The way.
And
Waddle,
I want
Waddle.
Andy Hart to wear a Waddle jersey so badly.
I'll do it, Dale. If they take Waddle, you can buy me a Waddle jersey.
Because you know that'll be your son's favorite player. You know that it will be.
But right, at least that would be exciting.
Oh, it would
star
be
wide receiver out of Alabama, and then, oh, my God, they got a quarterback, too? Forget all this talk of, yeah, you know, Gardner Minshew's great, he wears a jock strap, or Marcus Mariota's better than his first freaking 5 or 6 years in the NFL. No, no, no. I would leave draft weekend saying, you got reason to be excited, at least for a while.
Lance is going
to
get picked 8th, and we're all just going to have a cry.
What do we do? Then he waddled away,
waddle, waddle. You got any grapes?
And let's get to the calls. Matt's in Rhode Island. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I got 2 points. One on Mac Jones. I'd be really disappointed if they did take him. I mean, it was 15 at least. I watch a lot of college football. I just think an NFL game will really close in on this guy. It's not that he went to Alabama. It's just his receivers have so much separation and just not being athletic. I just really don't know if he can be really successful at the NFL game. Again, a first-round draft pick, you want that guy to, you know, be a franchise player. Second of all,
Matt, is that if you were calling sports talk radio back in the year 2000, you'd have said the exact same words about Tom Brady. I don't think he's going to be an elite quarterback.
But you wouldn't have taken him in the first round.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. But like you guys were saying, comparing Tom Brady and Mac Jones, I really don't see.
No, and I'm not suggesting that either. I'm just saying there are quarterbacks who you'd look at and say, he's not going to be that good in the NFL, and then they were.
Okay, sure. That goes to my second point and why I really want a rookie quarterback in here is because we need a rookie quarterback on their rookie deal. Because I'm really concerned about Belichick as the GM. I think obviously his drafting has been suspect. But what people don't talk about is like how lucky he was not only to have the best quarterback of all time, but the one in a lifetime athlete that gives back to the team on these team-friendly deals. I think this is going to really kind of be an exposure going forward. I don't see it really. I'm just like everyone else. I mean, we just go the next 20 years without having a quarterback. So, you know, what do you guys think about that?
I don't want to go 20 years without a quarterback.
No, that'd be
no. But you might. Hey, can I ask you guys a question to do some research during the next break? What's the best example?
Do your own damn research.
Well, no, I brought this up with Mutt last night because when you talk about franchise QB to franchise QB, the transition, the examples we generally point to are the 49ers with Steve Young or the Packers with Aaron Rodgers.
Or the Pats.
Or the Patriots.
Bledsoe to Brady.
But the person was already in place in all three of those examples.
Right.
What's the best example of a team letting the franchise guy
go? Could you do me a favor, guys, in the other room? Could you look this up? Is it this ever happened before?
And then
Peyton Manning
and
Andrew Luck.
But that was planned. You wouldn't have let Peyton Manning go if you didn't have Andrew Luck. So you already had Andrew Luck. I'm talking about you let somebody go. It went out into the great unknown, and you needed a quarterback, and you started a one-year search or a two-year search or a three-year.
Jameis Winston to Tom Brady.
Maybe not.
That really, you didn't go from a franchise.
What's the criteria here?
You're franchise, like all-pro, Pro Bowler quarterback that you let go or retires.
Who lets go of a Pro Bowl quarterback besides the Patriots?
I'm starting to see why you're so annoying.
I've never been told that.
617-779-7937. Tommy Curran joins us at noon. Kiefer Madness at 12:30. Dale and Keefe with Hart, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Just want to say on the side note, you guys make working from home bearable. I really enjoy listening to you guys all the time.
It's not bearable for me, but I'm glad it's bearable for you.
Back to Dale and Keefe
on EEI.
My girlfriend, she makes me like 10 cookies every night.
You're taking down 10 chocolate chip cookies? Like you put them in the fridge and then the next thing you know, they all disappear?
Yeah, 10 on a plate and then in about 10 minutes, they're all gone.
I picture Bill Belichick in his first meeting with his first round quarterback pick, Mac Jones, sitting across the desk where we saw the video of Brady sitting across the desk from Belichick and Belichick just hitting the button on his computer and playing that cut and said, "Oh, Mac. Yeah. Cookie days are over."
What do you think Alex Guerrero would say
right.
about that?
Goes from avocado QB to cookie QB. Can we have a happy medium? Just have like, how about we just listen to the nutritionist?
The previous quarterback used to be cookie QB as well. Cookie and pizza and by his own admission would slam beers with the offensive linemen. And now he came to a revelation and changed his lifestyle. But he was like that when he started too.
I guess. We'll see. Maybe Mac Jones is going to go through the same transformation. Would you bet against it? Because I would.
I'm going to bet against it, yeah.
No. I mean bet against, like, is he a seven-year starter in the NFL? Forget Brady.
No.
Forget Brady. Is he even Andy Dalton? Is he even...
No. Andy, no.
Okay. I mean, Andy Dalton had a good career. People don't want to know, but he was in Cincinnati. They went to the playoffs.
No, he started a bunch of years. He made the playoffs five times, I think.
Okay.
The Bengals. So,
better or worse than Andy Dalton, you'd say worse.
I would say worse.
Me too.
But that also sounds like more of a put down than it really is. If you look at Andy Dalton's career, I think a lot of quarterbacks would be happy with that type of career.
Right, but you didn't win anything. You didn't get a franchise QB necessarily.
No, I think it'll be worse than that.
Okay. David's calling on the cell phone. Hey, David, how you doing?
Oh, hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys today?
Great.
Good. Super.
Hey, you know, my question actually has a funny lead in. You know, a five-tool player for baseball. It's like hit for power and average. I was at an event and Joe Castiglione was there, and I must have asked him six times, and somebody had to come over and said, "Leave Joe alone, would you?" But my question is, for a quarterback in the NFL, does the college game not produce or groom those tools? I mean, what are the five tools for an NFL quarterback, and does the college game not prepare or help create those tools? I mean, why is it such a failure for every quarterback? Why is it so hard to find a good quarterback?
Well,
what are the tools make one, you know?
It's five tools in baseball. I'm not sure how many there are for a football quarterback.
Yeah,
I mean, the pitfalls for a quarterback are many. I don't think you can just overcome them with five tools. Now, the bigger question that he's asking is the preparation of quarterbacks. I would actually argue college football is doing a better job preparing quarterbacks, or the job is becoming dumbed down for the young quarterbacks. We've seen a boatload of young quarterbacks come in recent years, and nobody takes
a snap under center.
I think that's what it is. I don't think college is doing a better job than they were before. I just think the NFL is like, oh, why should we force them into doing something completely different? Let's adapt to the college game more. Because you hear every year, like Dale's point, you hear every year, this guy never took a snap under center. Now, he's going to have to take some snaps under center, but they're not going to do it all the time, like force him into it. Be like, hey, this is our offense. This is what we run. Like, no. Like, that's why Greg Roman's so good with Lamar Jackson. They saw what he did in Louisville, and they're like, all right, let's try to do some of this in the NFL. Like, what a crazy thought.
And Justin Herbert. What it is. Justin Herbert's the example this year. Remember all the questions about, can he take a snap? He's not ready. Hard knocks, this and that. And then he gets on the field, and it's like, he looks like he belongs at this level. Looks like he can play at this level.
Trey Wingo tweeted out a few minutes ago, and I'm quoting, he says, it's pre-draft QB hype season. A reminder, getting this right is hard. Trubisky, Goff, Wentz, Winston, Mariota, all either on different teams or looking for work. There are precious few guaranteed stars.
Yes.
And unfortunately, he's right. And precious few guaranteed stars at the most important position in any sport anywhere.
Correct. As Joe Madden said yesterday when he was talking about Tom Brady and Mike Trout, that's the most important position in sports. The Patriots don't become a dynasty without Tom Brady. That's what you need. And it's hard. That's why I would also say, like, there are very few sure things. Trevor Lawrence is close to that.
Seems to
be Andrew Luck type, you know. He was groomed as the number one pick for like the last 3 years. He lived up to it. He didn't, you know, swerve off the road and be, you know, all his warts started to show and people had to rethink things. You know, 3 years ago he was the number one pick. He's the number one pick now, and that's why if you're Jacksonville, it's a no-brainer and you feel good about it. Doesn't mean it'll work. Maybe he'll get hurt. Maybe he'll retire early like Luck or have, you know, various issues, but he's the surest of things.
He never takes the guy. So you look at the roster, and Belichick comes out 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and says, hey, listen, you know, we mortgaged the farm, we sold out, but we won 3 Super Bowls, championship. Everyone would die for that. Is that just a cop-out? When you look at those rosters, do you say, oh, my God, they spent every last nickel? Or is it the fact that he just doesn't draft well and we've just got nothing left?
Yes, the latter. The only time they sold out was the last year. I do think to some degree you could say they were trying to keep Tom happy. They brought in AB. They were pursuing Kyle Rudolph. They brought in Mohamed Sanu. They made some pretty aggressive moves there. They took a receiver in the first round, which they hadn't done. But before that, no. I think they built the roster as they had always built it, where there were occasionally they took chances or made, you know, investments. But I don't think they sold out until the last year, which is funny because the last year was the worst year.
And a bad draft doesn't kill you that season or even the next season. It's four or five years down the road.
Yeah,
especially 3 or 4 years. Like if you are going to be concerned about your cap space and things like that, Bill sort of referenced to like the resetting. Well, if you have these guys still in their rookie deals that are contributing for you, it's not as big of a deal. And so now you look back and you're like, all right, how many guys are starters or how many guys even get a good amount of playing time that were drafted 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, and it catches up to you, especially
that's
when you
how
don't
you,
have a quarterback to make up for everything.
And you can one draft won't kill you. One position won't kill you.
No, that's
what you overcome via trade or free agency, where you get into problems, and a lot of people now are doing their lists of, you know, free agency's coming. What are the lists of the Patriots' needs? Well, you could rank 1 and 4 and flip-flop them, right? Wide receiver, tight end, quarterback, defensive front, they're all borderline empty. Like, you really need to hit on some of those spots. If you only needed one of those, doesn't that make it easy? Well, I got my $20 million. I'll go find one of the top 2 or 3, you know, tight ends. And then we're happy because I added it to the core. But when you miss on multiple drafts at multiple positions, that catch up is just too expensive. It gets hard.
Victor's up in Maine. Hey, Victor.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. So just a couple things. One, I just wanted to comment on the discussion before the last break about
franchises that transitioned into quarterbacks, you know, having an all-star quarterback into another all-star quarterback. Let's not forget that the San Diego Chargers had, at one time, Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, and Drew Brees in one day. In single one day. They drafted Eli Manning, they traded for Drew Brees, they traded for Philip Rivers, and they got rid of Drew Brees. So there's another...
Yeah, but Andy's convoluted question was more...
It was not convoluted.
Yeah, it was. You were like, they couldn't have been on the same team at the same time, so they needed to have a year where they didn't have a quarterback and then had a quarterback the next year.
And we also have to remember, Drew Brees wasn't Drew Brees now then.
No, he wasn't.
Like, he wasn't considered a franchise. That's why they took Philip Rivers.
Right.
I feel like he came off like a 10-6 season, and they still drafted a quarterback, and that's why they ended up getting rid of him, because nobody believed in Drew Brees at that point.
Right, he wasn't that good. That's my point. I'm talking about somebody that had a franchise mainstay, star, Pro Bowler, whatever you want to call it. The Chargers did not believe they had that. That's the reason they invested in Philip Rivers.
I mean, if you think about it, the Patriots probably did it with Brady and then drafting Garoppolo.
Well, yeah, they tried to go, the 49ers, Packers.
Yep.
Like, the Packers tried to do it again.
But they're the most recent team, I'm saying, who probably pulled it off.
Right.
They had a Hall of Fame quarterback. They drafted a guy who has become a starting Super Bowl quarterback. Not Super Bowl winning, but, you know, Super Bowl quarterback. I mean, they did pull it off, right?
Right, and a lot of teams try to do that. I mean, I would argue that the Cowboys kind of did it. They had Tony Romo. They got Dak Prescott, right? They prepared and they went down that road, but they didn't let the franchise guy go and then kind of stumble. It seems like the best way to do it is the way Bill tried to do it. He absolutely tried to do it. Draft Garoppolo in the second round. I have my next guy, whether it's 1 year, 2 year, 3 year. I now have this guy on a 4 year deal. Sometime in the next 4 years, there may be a passing of the torch or the baton. That is the seemingly more successful way to do it. They are now trying to do it the unsuccessful way that the Dolphins and the Bills and so many of these other teams did, where it takes a really, really long time generally to get it done.
All right,
I don't know
Victor.
Why that is. Why is that? Is Victor still there?
No.
Hello, Victor? Is this thing on?
Hello? Are we
why up? Is it harder? Because isn't it the same kind of thing? Like, why? So I draft a guy to sit behind another great quarterback for a year. I'm still having to project whether a quarterback is good or not, right? Invest in a quarterback. Why is it so much harder once the guy's gone to invest in the quarterback? Like,
is it also because you kind of know that you hit on it and then it allows you to move on? Like, so you drafted Philip Rivers, he sat behind Drew Brees, and then you made the switch. Patrick Mahomes, you sat behind Alex Smith, and then you made the switch because you kind of knew you were upgrading, maybe?
Gives you a two-for-one option. It doubles your chances of having a quarterback, because there's also been plenty of quarterbacks that were drafted to be the succession that weren't. So then you probably sell out to convince the old guy, I need a couple more years because this guy's not ready, so you don't get exposed as quickly. That's well done by Rich Keefe. Nice
job. As our buddy Dice on Twitter put it too, Kansas City kind of did it with Alex Smith to Patrick Mahomes, right?
But that was the same thing. That was the draft him. Mahomes sat for a whole year, watched Alex Smith make the playoffs, and then they were like, all right.
They didn't have the down year. They didn't walk away from one.
Yeah, you're talking about a year where there's a year in between where you don't have a franchise quarterback.
Right. Like, if Patrick Mahomes had stunk on the practice field instead of all the stories we heard that he was great, he was dicing up the defense, he was unreal, they keep Alex Smith. And then we never know that Patrick Mahomes is really stinking. We just think, oh, Alex Smith is still good enough for them to consider him their starter. So it does. It extends your window, gives you a little insurance, and then you convince yourself to keep the old guy around a little bit longer.
So John just told me he thinks, and I guess you call these guys franchise quarterbacks, Carson Palmer to Kyler Murray. So you had the year in between of Josh Rosen, who was garbage, and then now what did you
that's
need?
That's a good
one. The number one overall
pick.
That's
a good one.
But yeah, that's a good one.
That is a good
one.
The
best one I can think of might be the Rams, because I know the Warner thing sort of ended abruptly, but Warner to Bulger to Bradford, and I know there were injuries kind of derailed that to Goff. It's the closest thing you can come to for like that many QBs over that span of time.
Yeah, and funny there, like that's another scenario where
those are number one picks,
two number one overall picks.
Yeah,
so we're not in that. You might be in that position if things go south. Maybe you start talking about that. But we're just showing it's really. I guess that's the just overwhelming theme. It's really hard to do what the Patriots are trying to do right now, and we're trying to talk ourselves into it getting done in a year.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number.
Oh, I got it. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, Palmer to Dalton to Burrow.
No, even better. Hasselbeck to Russell Wilson. There was a year in between where Tavares Jackson got the most snaps as at quarterback for them. So Matt Hasselbeck had a good run, made a Super Bowl, didn't win it. Then they had a year off, and then he drafted a guy in the third round.
And that's what I want the Patriots to do, because I want the mid-round Mac Jones. The problem is Mac Jones is going in the first round. Right? Mac Jones has questions about him.
Yeah.
Like Russell Wilson had questions, but clearly Russell Wilson had some sort of an it factor, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So now you'd say, Mac, the only problem is now you have to take this version of the guy with it that you want to develop in the top 15.
617-779-7937. We'll get right back to your calls in just a moment, and we'll ask the question, why are the Patriots scouting Trevor Lawrence? It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, Sports Radio, WEEI.